pandemic got us into a reflective space and made us look inward to see what we can do for the world at large. As a self-expression coach, I became a catalyst for women and started Vani, a one-on-one coaching program for women on finding their voice, to speak up, to be visible. As a storyteller, I spotted there were many ordinary people amongst us leading extraordinary lives, making a difference to the world, and they needed to be heard. Thus was born You and I with Rashmi Shetty, where amazing personal journeys with their uniqueness and individuality are showcased. A reaffirmation of the fact, open your eyes wider, the world is far more beautiful when we acknowledge the presence of both you and I. India Multiple Sclerosis Day, or India MS Day, is the only awareness-raising campaign all over India. This falls on the first Sunday of February every year. This year, it's on the 5th of February 2023. The theme this year is Celebrate MS. Multiple sclerosis, or MS, is a disease of the central nervous system, affecting its functioning unexpectedly and repeatedly, resulting in devastating disabilities in young people in the prime of their lives. It is also known as the crippler of the young adult. Our guests today are from MSSI, Ms. Anne Gonzalez and Smita Sadasivan. Ms. Anne Gonzalez, whose priority today is MSSI and MS persons, believes once an MS person comes into our fold, it's a lifelong relationship. This is her driving force. And this ex-banker had served in YWCA in various capacities and in many other associations before her priority today turned to MSSI. Her driving force are her siblings who are in the medical field and her strong belief that the Almighty has gifted us a purpose. Smita Sadasivan is a cross-disability inclusion and accessibility practitioner with multiple sclerosis from Chennai. Smita dons many hats and has multiple roles to play, including being a resource person. She is the accessibility consultant to the Election Commission of India, apart from being an active member of the Disability Rights Alliance India. She's a member of the MSSI too, and is associated with different forums, initiatives and organizations, including Vidya Sagar and South Asia Regional Program on Women's Institute on Leadership and Disability. Apart from the many awards and recognitions, she was awarded the NCPEDP Emphasis Javed Abidi Public Policy Award for Universal Design in recognition for her efforts in promoting accessibility for people with disabilities. Listen in as they share their journey with MSSI and how it has helped patients like Smita, and about India MS Day this Sunday, the 5th of February 2023. Such a pleasure having you and ma'am and Smita here on You and I with Rashmi Shetty. This is going to be a beautiful conversation, I know, especially with the MS Day coming up this Sunday. We take a step back to understand where you individually come from to the movement that you're now a part of. So, Anne ma'am, we'll start with you. A little about the little Anne to the Anne auntie that you're popularly called and referred to, and how your journey with the institution has been and this entire awareness campaign is. So can you take us briefly through all your moments?
I've always liked doing social work right from a young age. I belong to the Anglo-Indian community, and by virtue of the legacy of the British, many of our people did not do very well in the mid-60s and 70s. So as a young girl, my uncle and my father were very much involved in helping the downtrodden, particularly at our doorstep during the various Christmas festivals, Easter, etc., being Christians. So probably that's what imbibed in me this love of helping others. Basically, my background is banking. I've been a branch manager of 8 branches in the city of Chennai over a period of 39 years. And it was when I was a branch manager of the Persavokam branch that I got involved with the YWC of Madras. I've been their treasurer over the last so many years, right from 1985. And there I got to really know more about what social service means. Meantime, I also got involved in starting an organization called Ideas for Women. When the Sri Lankan women came back from Sri Lanka in 83, during the ethnic violence over there, to resettle them, rehabilitate them, we started a small sewing center wherein these women who were very, very craftily trained in doing a particular type of embroidery called smocking, which was, it's again, a legacy of the British and great in demand at that time. We started a unit for them doing smocking, tailoring a little bit, but mostly smocking. Children's clothes, anything, nighties, etc., that all involve smocking. That unit also is running still, though at a very small pace. Then we started a home for HIV women in 83, 87, when the Tamil Nadu government rescued about 50 women from the red light area of Mumbai and brought them to Chennai. We were actually at the station to receive them, and we took in 20 people and rehabilitated them under the guise of an organization called Zonta, Zonta International. Actually, I ran a canteen for a couple of years at the Citgo Industrial Estate every morning to be able to raise funds for this HIV. Now that unit is defunct because now HIV is no more that having the taboo that it was had. Then of course, in 93, I started what is called the Forum of Anglo-Indian Women, along with Beatrix D'Souza, RX MP, and that is still continuing at my doorstep. How I got involved in the Multiple Sclerosis Society is a very strange thing. A lady who was working in a Multiple Sclerosis office in Mumbai, her husband got transferred to Chennai, so necessarily she gave up her job and came to Chennai. She had just got involved with 3-4 people in Chennai, MS persons in Chennai, when again her husband was transferred out of Chennai. And so she went to a particular set of flats in an area in Nungambakkam searching for one of the MS people. When she arrived at that lady's door, she found that the lady had shifted and nobody could help her with the address. Feeling very disappointed, as she climbed the staircase to come down, she saw a door open and she just jumped in, and a lady was there and she said, "Can I have a glass of water?" That lady invited her in and said, "Come in, please have a glass of water." And then they got talking about what they were doing. And she said, "I have to leave Chennai and I just wanted to start this organization. Do you know anybody I can ask to be take it up?" That lady happened to mention my name. Of course, originally I said no, because I thought I knew health requires a lot of emotional involvement. Then I come from a family where there are 4 doctors. So my elder sister is a psychiatrist in Sydney. I had a word with her and she said, "No, take it up. It'll give you a good insight and it'll also keep you going busy." So then I said yes, and that's how my journey with multiple sclerosis started in September 1997, and I've never looked back after that. Post retirement, at that time after office hours, I used to come by and do the look at work and help people out. Post retirement, it became virtually a full time. Because normally the YWCA work and other work takes up my morning time. So my afternoon time is exclusively for MSI. So if patients want to meet me, et cetera, I'm there available to them. So that is my journey of 25 years with Multiple Sclerosis Society of India. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. And I think when such moments of life happen, where you are not even there in the picture physically, but then you get into the picture as a little dot by somebody else, you know that you're meant to do it. So when it came to multiple sclerosis, and did you have any idea what kind of research did you do? Because this is one area that not many people are aware of as part of disability or even as a health problem. So how did you equip yourself to understand what it is?
As I said, basically, I am inclined to look at medicine and diseases, basically. It probably had my mother lived on, I would have become a doctor like my two sisters. But she died when I was 13, and then dad wouldn't send us out, send us to Chennai to study. I was in Trichinopoly at that time, and dad wouldn't send us out to study. So I continued with the ordinary BA economics in Trichy and learning French, etc. So probably somewhere in the back of my mind, this love for medicine grew. Follow? And so when I had to deal with HIV people, I slowly started studying things, asking questions, reading literature, getting material and reading. So when this MS came into I first talked with my sister, who's in Australia. And MS is very well known in Australia. So she was able to brief me about the pros and cons of it and how best I should be able to deal with it, given the fact that the very few cases of MS in India, that known cases of MS. So that's how I slowly, slowly studied. After my post my retirement, I took up a job with Mayotte Hospitals. I went in there to first only to do an a magazine called IGOF, Indo-German Orthopedic. But slowly, slowly, Dr. Mohandas, who happened to be my sister's classmate in medical college, roped me in to do all to do and be an administrative person in that place. And then I slowly got to know more and more and more of what I wanted to know about medicine and MS. Then in 2009, I gave it up because the drive was long from home, Nungambakkam to Korur. I gave it up and then happily settled down to doing only social service. So that's the background to medicine a bit.
I think God has a way to put us where we intend to be, where we
You're
would
right.
love making a difference.
You're right. I always say it is God who paved this way for me because somewhere at the back of my mind, some unfulfilled wish or desire got fulfilled this way. And
That's
even till today, it's God who provides me with the know-how, the wherewithal, including finances to help run this organization.
Wow, that's beautiful and powerful. Smita, if we can have you in now, if you can share your story, Smita, since you are one of those who actually has been diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, that journey itself, because not many people are aware of it. What are some of the initial symptoms, if you can just throw some light on it?
Yeah, so it was really unexpected and also uncommon. I was having too much of tiredness. I was fatigued, and all the time I will be wanting to sleep. Even in college, I would like to just sleep over the bench. And as soon as I come home, I will just take on the bed and I will sleep. And so my parents started thinking that I am becoming lazy. And they started to give me some work and try to make me active. But that was making me even more tired. And there was kind of a stigma associated with youngsters being rebellious. And why can't you come and open the door? Why can't you come and clear the ground? Why can't you fetch water? Why are you sleeping all the time? So all these questions were on me. And of course, my poor parents also didn't know that this is because of a neurological condition, nor did I. And only when it progressed and from sleep, it manifested into some kind of pain in the back of the neck and also in the ribs area. And when my walking became like unstabilized and I could not brush my teeth suddenly and I could not button my shirt. So there were issues. Then we figured out that there is some health issue on this, and I was taken to a hospital. And even before that, when I was taken to check up, even the neurologist could not identify I have an issue. All the tests were done. And finally, it was in the MRI that it came up that I have some neurological demyelinating condition. And also, after getting admitted in the hospital for a week's time, and ultimately, when my bowel and bladder failed, I could not urinate, I could not pass my motion. Only at that point of time, and I completely became immobile and completely paralyzed. That is when even the neurologist could, assume that it is a neurological condition, and they shifted me to the neurological ward. And then they started giving me the steroid injection. And so the demyelination treatment started. And by then I was also losing my conscious, and it was totally, getting into a very catastrophic situation, and my parents didn't know what to do. There was no information, no support. And then finally, when doctor gave me physiotherapy, and I was slowly out of catheterization, and was given training for urination and all that, and doctors gave me hope and said I can I'll be okay in another 6 months, and I can go back to college. Whereas within 5 months' time, I again developed weakness, and at that time it was in my left leg. And so my left leg will not function. And then I kept on having these relapses frequently within few months' time. And once I lost my vision completely, for about nearly 2 months, I was without vision. And again, the steroids was given, the injections. And then I got back my vision slowly.
Yeah.
So, it was a state of helplessness. And literally, we were in a dark. Like, my parents didn't know whom to talk, and I didn't know what is happening. I was in a depressed state, and my parents didn't know how to, cope with me and how to handle me. And it was at that time that we came to know about Multiple Sclerosis Society of India, Chennai chapter. Anne Aunty herself came to us. You know, when we gave a newspaper article saying that I need money for my medication. And, we had already sold 3 properties. And in the medication of these rare diseases are very, very expensive. And for everyone, it is like that. And so finally, when we are also without money, we are without any information, we are without any support, it was at that time that we got MSSI to come and support us. And the beauty of a support system like MSSI is that you have information. Otherwise, you only know what the doctor tells you. So we know information about our condition, how to handle it, how to manage it. And we know that there is a group of people like us, and we are not alone. And there is somebody like an auntie or a social worker whom my parents can talk to whenever they want to. And I can talk to my fellow persons with multiple sclerosis. So this is the kind of space that a support system like MSSA is giving.
And ma'am, when we talk about Multiple Sclerosis Society of India, what exactly are the activities, MSSI for short, and how do you create awareness? Because like Smita was sharing with us, many a time it goes undiagnosed. People don't even realize that it's a problem. It's only the person going through and the immediate family who see the pain and suffering. So what does MSSI do? Do you have awareness programs that you create? What exactly and how exactly do you take it forward?
One thing, Multiple Sclerosis Society of India has its headquarters in Mumbai, and we have 9 chapters all over India. Each chapter does what it's able to do best. There have been no really stereotype pattern for each chapter. The most favorable item on the list for any chapter is helping patients get doctor's appointments. 2, helping them procure medicines or access medicines. 3, then you have physiotherapy, psychotherapy, get-togethers, etc. We Chennai chapter in particular give lots of priority to medicines and medical reimbursements. Chennai being the medical capital of India, access to doctors is very, very, not easy, comfortable. Doctors are aware of the disease and today, but 15 years ago, as Smita said, they were not so well attuned to dealing with cases of multiple. But today, most of them, 100% of the neurologists know about MS. So accessing appointments is not a big deal for us in Chennai. But getting medicines, because the cost of medicines can be prohibitive. Before generic medicines came into being, the cost of injections imported with duty was huge. Today, it is you are getting generic medicines plus pharmaceuticals also. The number of patients have grown, so health. The pharmaceuticals also have done their homework and we get it at a price. So in Chennai, getting procuring medicines, reimbursing medicines, accessing medicine, that's our priority. Then we have homebound physiotherapy. We have psychotherapy online as well as offline. We in particular have what is called a brain lab. In days gone by, when a person was immobile, not able to do things much for themselves, the common practice in at least India was put them before a television, feed them when they want to, help them to the toilet. So we have, that leads to a lot of brain fog or cognition lack. So now we have what is called a brain lab every Thursday between 12 and 1:30, wherein a psychotherapist goes through various games, memory, puzzles, things like that, and half an hour socialization. Those who are outstation and join in have a chit chat. Of course, we have WhatsApp groups. Then we have started what is called a fatigue management program, because fatigue is one of the biggest symptoms of MS. So what happens, previously it was more elderly, not very well educated, more the underprivileged came to us. Today everybody, privileged, underprivileged, working, non-working, are coming. And so youngsters, when I say youngsters in the age group of 21 to 35, all working in good jobs with IT company, are coming to us. And they are shocked that they are not able to manage work and home life with MS. So they give up. But some of them plod on. So to help people to be able to manage their lifestyle, we started what is called a fatigue management clinic, which is headed by a neurologist who takes three classes on how to manage fatigue, high, medium, and low. And therein a therapist, psychotherapist comes in for emotional fatigue management. At the end of it, the sum total, both of them will go back into the details of the patient and do it. So we have had three batches of this clinic, so six classes, six people. So this is one of our big efforts to help people who are in a position to still work, manage family, family life, marriage, and manage their fatigue levels. Then we have meditation. We have yoga online. We have yoga offline. And now we are slowly, slowly trying to gather data. Because all said and done, without data, we can't do nothing. We are just like plodding on. Really not reaching what the desired goals. So fatigue management, we started keeping data. And yoga, now we have started a therapy wherein a yoga teacher takes one MS person, looks into their background, teaches them yoga. She's an MS person herself. And then puts down statistics. How best that particular person can overcome whatever her frailties or difficulties are due to MS particularly. So like that, it's an ongoing program. At least during COVID, Monday, Tuesday, every day there was a program. It was, you know, we had doctors talking to us online. Every week, a doctor would, Dr. Venkatraman, who's come back from the UK 2 years ago, and he had been trained in MS. So it was, you know, nobody could say they were bored or couldn't reach out to us. So that was an ongoing program. And now something again will come up and we'll start another program. So this Chennai chapter, not all chapters have it, but Chennai. Then we have the monthly, what is called face-to-face, where 1 month we celebrate birthday, the next month we call a doctor, third month we call a genderist, fun, like that we want to be every month. Of course, we have house visits also. I have a medical social worker who's in constant contact with the patients and hospitals.
And with MSSI Chennai chapter, they give all the support systems starting from physiotherapy to medication to, you know, different other things like Ananti said just now, the brain lab or the psychotherapy or, you know, meditation, yoga, and a lot of chat sessions. To create a safe socializing space and also to explore outside, like by taking us to the picnic. So everything, you know, what is required in a life is being provided by MS. And it is really, MSSI takes care of a person with MS till life. So even our own family will not be with us till death, but MSSI is there until our end. So this is what we always say.
Okay, and have there been any particular moments, and ma'am, since you got on this journey, and like you said, you were chosen by the one above, and when you got on this journey, have there been moments that now, if you sit back and recall, where you realized that this definitely is the need of the hour, there is differences that are arising in people's life because of a society, a chapter like this, which is making a difference to them? Any stories that remain and constantly remind you that you are on the right path?
Yes, it's an experience of day-to-day existence, I can tell you. Somebody is always reaching out, wanting help in whatever form, be it somebody to talk to, be it money, be it medicines, be it somebody to care for them. I mean, it goes on. It's just one long journey. It's a never-ending journey. And somehow, for me, this comes foremost today in my life. I mean, it's very sad when a girl who has MS, you bring her into the office, train her, give her everything. Then she gets married and then MS takes over. I mean, it's pathetic. She's now in a vegetative state. She's lost her husband. She has a child. When I look at her, I always wonder whether I succeeded in what I did. And then I tell myself, well, at least she had a few years of fruitful life with us. Today, she's a vegetable, but she did have a good time. Yes. Like that, you're mentoring somebody or get close to somebody and then suddenly death snatches them away. It goes on.
Yeah, the truth of life and some moments when really you sit back and wonder what life is all about.
Yeah, that's good.
How old were you, Smita, when you were diagnosed with and all these first early symptoms? How old were you when you got the first symptoms of MS on you?
I was 19 years old and I was studying in college. I was doing my BA English Literature third year in Queen Mary's College. I was very active. Like I was part of college union. I was, part of the karate class. I was doing other extracurricular activities, you know, oratorical competitions. I would participate. So I was very, very active and suddenly, you know, all this happened. And so it needs to create awareness amongst the youngsters. And that, you know, the first lesson that I learned is a disease or a disability can occur to anyone. And, you know, we cannot think that, oh, I am healthy, nothing will happen to me. So that was one thing. And second thing, with support systems, you can bring back your life. Like, there were many people in my life who supported me, starting from my professors, who pushed me to, you know, continue my studies. And they took me to Vidyasagar. They asked me to, pursue further higher education. So these different opportunities were provided by different people. And when we call all of them as support system, and when you look at, life as such, the community, the society is full of support systems. For example, the education system or the transport system or the police, the post office, everything is a support system. Whereas when people are stuck, so we need these specific support systems like MSSI so that they can, blossom again. And then once we understand the reality of life and once we understand the support system which can make us evolve further, then there is no looking back.
Powerful words, Smita. And one question I want to ask you before I go back to Anne, ma'am, when it comes to motivating yourself intrinsically from within, how do you push yourself? People from outside can tell you, but you're the one going through the pain, the suffering, the thought process. How do you push yourself in the process? What do you tell yourself?
Yeah, so, I don't think so much about my condition. And yes, whenever some issue pops up, and it stays for some time, then I will think of what I should do next so that I can maintain that. So I would just consult an auntie, I would consult our social worker, I would consult our doctor, or going for other alternative therapies. And I would ensure that I would somehow maintain it. And physiotherapy helps me a lot. Whereas I won't be, thinking about it more and more and feel stressed. Whereas I have many other issues to sort out, a whole lot of work in the disability sector, in the health sector that I am dealing with. And there are so many people who need help, support, and basically information helps everyone. You know, I am focused on providing information to as many people as possible and to help them wherever I can. So when you are into a mission, then our own condition doesn't affect us so much, and we know that everybody have something else, some issue, and we really see that. And so yes, I do have this condition, and I have a support system, I have an auntie to back me, and I have the beautiful system which is supporting me. And so this support should reach to others also. So this is how I am just it is, I keep going on.
It's amazing how positive you are, Smita. I love your smile, the way you're smiling and speaking about life and how you're facing it. So Anman, coming back to you, February 5th is India MS Day. Is there any history behind it, and what exactly you do on that day?
Actually, we started with World MS Day originally. Observed on the last Wednesday of the month. Now it is postponed to 30th of May. And at that particular point of time, the world over was observing MS. Then one of our committee members, All India level, she said, why should we only have World MS Day? We'll also have India MS Day. And on that day, we'll give an award to some person of India who has done something above all that is needed for the promoting the cause of MS or MS. So that's how this India MS Day evolved. And all these years, it was up to the chapter to have their own form of observing. Or now this year to celebrate MS. All these years we said observe MS. So this year at national level, they said we'll use the word celebrate and have a common platform all over India, using the same type of banners, literature, etc. So that creating a better awareness that MS is there to stay in India, and there's something we are there to do something about it. So that's how this India MS Day came about.
Okay, I love the word celebrate, because life is all about celebration, and the more we feel grateful, I'm sure life makes us that much more happier. As part of MSSI, is there psychotherapy and physiotherapy as well, but is there some care taken even about the caregivers, because they are a community of people who are invariably ignored? So does MSSI give awareness programs to caregivers as well?
We do, not in the sense that we have separate programs, though we've had online programs for them. But in Chennai chapter, we observe the month of October as a month of the caregiver. And we give a small gift as an award to the mother, father, brother, sister, son, daughter, friend who has voluntarily taken care of an MS person and made a difference in their lives. So we honor them. As such, they come to, they're part of all our programs. And we've had one or two sessions only on the caregiver and how to deal with it. But this way we honor the caregiver.
Yeah. I think that is very important. And when it comes to the pandemic, and ma'am, every one of us in the world took a back step and a pause, because suddenly life came to a standstill.
Yeah.
But for people going through this trauma, especially what Smita had just described, what she and her family went through, the pandemic must have been quite a challenge, because there's a lot of external help that was required, and there were lockdowns, and How did MSSI handle those pressures, those challenges, and what were your takeaways from the pandemic?
For one thing is I made sure that the two girls who work with me were able to take the computers home. So we saw to it that those who are getting money for rehabilitation, we also provide some money for rehabilitation. And because you can get medicines, but what about your food? So there are many underprivileged people. So we saw to it that first of all, those who are getting the rehabilitation allowance got it. And over and above it, they were getting money for medicine. And over and above medicines, if they wanted clothing, food, etc. There was Swiggy and all these people, all these runaround people we made use of. And we also tapped the doors of the government to be able to get ration for those, food delivery. And we also get good support from an organization called BNY Mellon, who were able to reach out in far-flung places, few people, to be able to give them support. On the whole, we saw too that really nobody suffered for want of medicine or want of food, etc. All the necessities, we were there to provide support or arrange support or see they got it. Like we got medicines carried by a person on a scooter, motorbike, as far as 300 kilometers away in the borders of Andhra. Yes, that's how we reached out to people. We made them feel they were never alone.
Wow. Okay. So this is as far as your work goes to society. Personally, for you and ma'am, what was the pandemic like? What did it teach you? Did it leave you with any thoughts and lessons for life?
Actually, the pandemic made me a caregiver. I live mostly alone. My daughter's away in Australia. My husband passed away in 1984. So virtually, I live alone. I have only one sister who was a nun and a doctor in Chennai. And she was running her own organization, a very big organization for the family. She fell ill. And so she came to stay with me and I took on the role of a caregiver. So I never felt left alone. I never felt time to worry or bother about anything because it was one, no maids, no ironing man. Understand, all the things we take for granted in day-to-day living were all minus. So once you get into the role of sweeping, swabbing, cleaning, cooking, doing everything, then time just then looking at the TV, talking to my sister, etc. Then time went on. And she then ultimately got took her away at the end of 21.
Okay.
So I was a caregiver at that time. So I really, it taught me a lot of things.
Yeah, what and ma'am? So what, if you can give us three takeaways from the pandemic for you, what were those three takeaways in the pandemic that you got?
Yeah. Show empathy. When people are particularly confined to a bed, they require a lot of empathy. Two, food. See that they are well, nutritious food. It's not just food, nutritious food. Three, give them the solace that you can give them by way of word and thought, word or deed.
Yes, really true and very beautiful thoughts. So now for this Sunday, I see you're really busy, a lot of activity happening around you. If you want to tell people can anybody join this Awareness Day programs that you're organizing, or it's only for members and your community?
No, the main purpose of trying to create a lot of hype around India MS Day is to make known to the public that there's such a disease called multiple sclerosis, that there is treatment available to stem the progression and there is support systems also available that you can always bank on to help you tide over these difficult periods of life.
Okay.
And I'm very, very grateful to the German company Bosch, who has been giving us office space for the last 26 years.
Okay. Wow. Okay. And what are some special programs that you've lined up for Sunday, ma'am, that you can share with us and you'd like to tell the public that they need to be part of?
One is the Greater Chennai Commissioner, Mr. Bedi, is going to be our chief guest. He's very empathetic to the cause. Two, It's an outing for our MS people. Three, they will get to know other MS people, and society will get to know what MS is all about. Creating awareness will be our biggest plus point, because there must be many, many out there who have MS. Maybe they don't know they have MS, or they have MS and don't know an organization, or they have MS, they know about MSSI, but still are inhibited, fight shy, or bring it out in the open.
Yeah, that's very true. And Smita, if you can come in and share what the pandemic taught you, Smita, because for all of us, the pandemic was the best teacher that we needed at that point of time. Gave us a lot of lessons. So any specific lessons that you took from the pandemic?
Right, yeah, absolutely. And the very serious lesson that I had was that community support system should be there, because during a pandemic or any kind of humanitarian emergencies, what is lacking is community support. And if that is available, for example, one of our member was in third floor and she's a wheelchair user, and her caregiver could not come to her, and so she was just stuck in her house and she could not even get her food. So she had to call an auntie, call MSSA Chennai chapter, and from Chennai chapter volunteers went there, and they got her food and bread and milk. So these kind of issues were there. And so what is really important is to weave around the community support, around us within the community, and also information. People are stuck within the doors and they didn't know any, they didn't have enough information about the vaccine, about the the nutritious meal, or about the medication or the COVID center. So what we were doing is, like a group of us, we were actually becoming a bridge between people with the multiple sclerosis and other disabilities and the disability commissioner's office, and to take the support systems to their home through the disability department, and also make the helpline accessible so that anybody can call and ask for support. So these kind of things. And I also I'm very happy to say that our Chennai Corporation Commissioner, when I told him that we are a group of people, we could not come out during the pandemic and it is too unsafe, and we also need vaccines at home, at doorstep, he immediately consented. And he started giving the vaccination to all people with disabilities in the doorstep, and also for our caregivers, family members. So this was really a great effort from the authority, from our Chennai Corporation as an implementing authority for Chennai. And what I would suggest is, like, we need to have community support systems, and also to think little around the needs of people when we are working out something, so that the system actually encompasses everyone's requirement and provides those kind of support systems. Just a simple example is, like, how I could come this far in work is because, like, when I started working with Vidya Sagar, our director asked me, like, what do you want? I said, I can't even sit for some time, how can I work? Then she said, I will give you a bed. So I have been saying, like, I will all the time be on the bed, laying on the bed, because I'm too tired. She said, we will give you a bed, in your office, and you can just rest, and you can sit and work whenever you are feeling better. So these kind of accommodations, which is also part of the disability rights, the disability law, which needs to be worked around based on individual needs. Also, that is what groups like Multiple Sclerosis Society is doing. So we need to think around these things so that we can cope with any kind of pandemic in the future.
Very articulately expressed, Smita. What exactly is the need that society needs to comply by? And I think you're giving us a powerful example of what a community can create. which people like an auntie are part of and so committed to. And I think that's what makes it such a viable option and a beautiful outcome is the MSSI that we can see and the activities that you are creating out of it. So how excited are you, Smita, about February 5th, India Awareness Day for MS?
I'm so excited for various reasons, like, you know, to meet all the members. And it is going to be an outing. So in the park, along with nature, and also to be ambassadors and pass on the message on, you know, multiple sclerosis to the society. And of course, it is celebrating diversity as the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities says. So I'm super excited.
Celebrating diversity definitely is. And where is the venue, Anne ma'am, where everyone is going to meet up?
It's at the Annanagar Tower Park.
Oh, Annanagar Tower Park.
It is one of the parks in Chennai.
Chennai,
yeah. The heart of a residential come commercial center, which is populated by a lot of people. It's got lovely venues, avenues to walk about, etc. And lots of people live nearby. And lots of entertainment takes place there.
Okay.
So we hope to have a good crowd.
Okay. So Annanagar Tower Park is where everybody in Chennai City should be on the 5th of February, this Sunday. Okay, so as we are moving, the last question to both of you, three life lessons that you'd like to share at this point of time and leave us with. And ma'am, we'll go with you first and then.
Yeah. Love, show love to everyone who comes your way. Two, develop a sense of empathy to the needy. Never hold any grudges. Take life as it comes happily.
Okay, Smita.
My lessons, as I told you before also, like one is disability or a health condition can come to anyone. So, you know, don't have the stigma that I will be all right throughout life, number one. And number two, support system works wonders. So just be the support system wherever possible to whoever possible. It really makes a huge difference to somebody. And third is, definitely we need to move towards a human rights based approach. We have to look into the accessibility and community support aspects. Accessibility and community support are part of everybody's life, which needs a bit extra modification for people who have, you know, specific requirements, specific needs like us. So it's all these three I would like to pass on to everyone in the community, and so that we can all celebrate diversity and be in harmony.
Well said, Smita. Beautiful conclusion, celebrating diversity, living in harmony and not taking life for granted, because anything can change in the very next second. And that is the beauty of life, the suspense of life and the curiosity factor that keeps us alive. Thank you so very much to both of you, Ann ma'am and Smita, for giving the time here, and honored to have both of you on UNI with Rashmi Shetty. Wishing 5th of February a memorable and awesome event where you have a lot of people coming over. And I'm sure with two committed soldiers like the two of you, MSSI has a bright future. The Chennai chapter definitely shining bright. All the very best. Stay blessed and God bless both of you.
God bless you too. God
bless. Thank you very much, Rashmi, for this opportunity.
With that, we come to the end of this weekly quest of You and I with Rashmi Shetty. Do let us know if you know people who make the world beautiful. Write in to rashmi.thethirdeye@gmail.com. That is rashmi.thethirdeye@gmail.com. Come, let's explore this amazing world together, both you and I.